Hello, and welcome to the Marlena program for the week of July the 16th. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. We will be joined by our newly elected ACB president, Mitch Pomerantz, in the first hour. And in the second hour, we will be in open forum. Thanks to my friend Chrissy Cochran for composing this theme song. It is called Marlena. Now come on in and join us, and we'll be looking forward to your call this week on the Marlena program. Well, we're back from convention, and holy moly, what a convention we had. I don't know how we ever found the time to get everything done. Never mind the business of ACB getting that done. That was certainly an interesting way in which we had to end our convention, but we are moving onward, and I'm already looking forward to Louisville. Can you believe that? But enough from me. Let me bring in our guest for this evening. I'm really delighted to have on the phone with me my good friend and the president of the American Council of the Blind, Mitch Pomerantz. Welcome, Mitch.
Well, thank you very much, and good evening, Marlena, and to all our listeners on ACB Radio.
And I want to thank you for coming on the show with relatively short notice. You know, I guess I'd never be a professional journalist because I didn't get this idea until Thursday.
Well, it worked out fine, and of course, I sprung what could have been a serious surprise on you, because we got tickets to see Jersey Boys Described here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And fortunately, paratransit showed up on time, and we actually we got home at 5:30, so it
wow.
worked out just fine.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Did you enjoy Jersey Boys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody who's a product of the music of the 60s and 70s will enjoy it too when it comes to your community.
Well, I'm going to look for it because, you know, we share a lot of music in common.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's get to the business at hand here. You have been elected the president of the American Council of the Blind. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about what it was like as the election was happening? Were you nervous? Were you, I mean, I don't know about you, but my heart was in my mouth. I was like, for my election and several others, actually.
I had actually spent a lot of time the couple of months preceding the convention, looking at what life would be like after the election, if I won or if I had lost. And so by the time the actual election came around Friday morning, I was actually relatively calm. I mean, I had the cold hands and all that stuff, but I really was prepared for whatever happened. I was counting votes, as much as you can count votes.
Yes,
count
so
delegate
was I.
Votes.
Yeah.
And as things proceeded, I felt, well, as I said all week, I felt cautiously optimistic. And as the votes came in, based on the work that we had done and the delegates we had talked to, and just what I was hearing, I felt better as the election proceeded. And when they announced, I thought that unless something terribly untoward had happened with the standing vote, that we had it, and I was just, it really was, as I said, it was one of the more one of the most humbling moments of my life, that, you know, 500-600 people with, you know, 400-500 with folks representing 400-500 delegate votes, affiliate votes, entrusted me, gave me basically a 60% of the votes. It's an honor. It's humbling, and it was one of the great moments of my life, as well as my political life in the organized blind movement.
One thing I was impressed with, both you and Carla Rusheville, who of course was your primary opponent. We did have Eric Blair on the program, but for folks who may not know, I don't know what happened to Eric Blair, so he did not run for president in the end. But one thing I was impressed with both your campaigns, how well they were run, how above board they were run. But I was very impressed with the dedication of your wife, Donna. And, you know, I almost sent you a second email and said, let's bring her on, too. I mean, she was really a force, I'll tell you.
Well, what I've said is that, you know, she's the woman besides me. She's my right and left hand. You know, I'm not always the most diplomatic guy in the world.
No, never.
And she's the one who made sure that I didn't put more than a toe in my mouth, that I kept the foot out by and large. And she was with me at all the caucuses, and I handed out the materials, and we ran around like crazy, and you know, she talked to as many people as I did. And, you know, she's the best thing that's happened to me in my life. She's going to be a partner. You know, this week, Lady Bird Johnson passed away.
Yes.
They talked about how she was, you know, she was the force. She was somebody that Lyndon Johnson listened to, as much as he listened to his political advisors. And that's certainly the role, Donna's going to play in this administration.
Well, she certainly is a lovely person, and I'm enjoying getting to know her. All right, on to, before we open the lines, let me do a little bit of housekeeping here, and then we will open the lines. If you're listening to this program at any time between 9 to 10 Eastern, 6 to 7 Pacific on a Sunday night in North America, or very early on a UTC Monday morning 1 to 2, if you're listening during those times, we're live, and we'd love to have you call us at 866-666-7926. If you're listening at times other than those times, it's a repeat, and please put your feet up and enjoy the program. Mitch, what is your vision for ACB? Let's start out with the real broad, and then I'm going to ask you how you're going to get there from there.
Well, my vision for the American Council of the Blind is for every member, regardless of whether they hold an office or not, to feel the same level of commitment to the organization that I have, that they believe that this is the grassroots democratic organization that was founded back in 1961. My vision is for an open democratic organization that pursues our goals of advocacy and becomes a real force in work for the blind. You know, we've made strides in that direction, but I think we can do far more. So my vision is for us to be democratic internally and well-known and well-respected externally.
All right, and the number to call is 866-666-7926 if you want to talk with President Mitch Pomerantz, newly elected president of the American Council of the Blind. Gary, the board guy, has indicated that he did open the line. Well, now, playing the devil's advocate here, those are very lofty goals, and who could disagree with them? But what's some strategy to achieve some of these goals?
Well, internally, we've already started. We had made a commitment that when I got back from the convention, either Sunday or Monday, we would be putting out a post inviting persons who wanted to participate on ACB committees to email or call me. And we did that. The post went out Monday. And I haven't gone through them all yet, but I suspect we received somewhere around 70 to 75 emails and calls from affiliate presidents nominating members, individuals nominating themselves. So that's for starters. The committee structure in ACB is really what drives the organization. And that's the way we're starting internally, by making sure that folks feel that they are a part of the organization, can participate, and obviously we're not going to be able to appoint everybody who provides a name, theirs or someone else's, but we are going to involve as many folks as possible. So that's what we're doing internally.
All right. Now, before I let you go to externally, let's take a phone call. How's that?
Okay.
Hi there. You're with Mitch and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Frank Casey from Albany. Do I get a prize for being the first caller?
Well,
I've called in the last 30 days, so I can't win.
Well, you get my friendship if you'd like it.
Okay.
Hello, Frank.
Hi, Mitch. Well, first of all, congratulations are in order.
Well, thank you.
I was really impressed the way when you handled the Tuesday session, you kept everything right on schedule when you said it was the last question, that it was. And I think it's important for a president to be able to do that, and I'm sure you will. What my questions are, I know many people, as far as officers nationally of ACB, have talked about accessible money and descriptive video. One of the things that I'm curious as to, what is your position going to be on getting things like accessible DVD players, talking DVD players, so that people, I know there's programs that you can use to listen to DVDs on your computer and stuff like that, but for home DVDs, I don't think there are any talking DVD players out yet. I wonder what your position is going to be as ACB president to try to put things in motion to get accessible home DVD players.
Well, we had some talk prior to the convention. I was the officer liaison at the time with the resolutions committee, or to the resolutions committee, and we had some talk about, do we need legislation that would require manufacturers to build accessible features into their equipment? And while a resolution like that didn't come out of this year's convention, it's certainly something that we will look at. I'm going to put together a very strong information access committee. And I think you're going to be a part of that, Marlena, as well. I think that was
great.
An area that you'd express some interest in.
Yes.
And you know, Frank, I think we need to put pressure on the manufacturers, just as we need to put pressure on the automakers with regard to quiet cars, because that's going to be something that affects us. It already is beginning to. So, you know, nobody, and I think I said this when I was on the show a few weeks ago, no one wants to go in and start mandating to business how business should run, but
right.
I think that business needs to understand that there are millions of blind people. We spend money, we buy products. I have at home an old Sony talking clock radio that goes back at least 20 years. And it is a treasure to me, because it is something that I can use. I can set the alarm, I can set the clock. I don't need any assistance. And they didn't keep them on the market for more than a year or two. I don't guess they sold all that well, but the reality is that I love that thing. And I think we all have a right to technology that we can use without assistance. So it will be a priority. I'm not quite sure how we're going to address it right now, but we will address it, and I will rely on the Information Access Committee to develop some policy on how we approach the industry, not just talking DVD players, but other kinds of equipment that that we use.
Thanks very much, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, bye-bye. Frank. Bye-bye. The number to call is 866-666-7926. We're going to take another call here and put the caller on hold for just a sec. I, just to add a note to that, Mitch, I have attempted on numerous times when Mr. Wenner, I think that's how one, Wegner, was with Panasonic to bring him on the program and never received any response. And so it's heartening to me to hear that this would be part of your direction for the Information Access Committee, because we've got to find a way to make our voices heard in a serious vein with all of these manufacturers.
I don't know if we talked about it previously, but we're just finishing a remodel here of our kitchen.
Yes, I've been through this.
And to find appliances, not talking appliances,
right,
but to find appliances that a blind or visually impaired person can use, especially in our situation, because we have electric here, not gas.
So do we.
And there's even less out there on the market if you've got electric. And it probably delayed our remodel by at least 6 months.
So
it's a very personal issue to us.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in our other call. Hi, you're with Mitch and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Joe Hartz from Michigan.
Hello,
how are
Joe.
You both tonight?
All right. Hello, Joe.
I'd like to give you both a hearty congratulations on your victories, and it gives me a lot of hope in a new direction for ACB. I would also like to compliment you, Mitch, on one of your first orders of business in your appointments to the Board of Publications. It's near and dear to my heart, and I think most members, having an independent media, and especially, Paul Edwards. The man is fair, knowledgeable, and just has a vast amount of experience. I would like to ask one question that was a little bit, since resolutions are a very big part of our policy guidance, as the chair of future conventions, what would you do to ensure that all our business is taken care of and that we don't leave resolutions or constitution and bylaw amendments hanging on the floor? And I'll leave it at that. And again, congratulations to both of you.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, we have a joke here at home. I'm called the Time Monster. And I believe that people expect meetings to begin on time, to move along appropriately. And while you don't want to stifle debate and discussion, I think there's an expectation that you're going to get your business conducted in an appropriate period of time. So I've been following the discussion on ACBL this week, and there's been quite a bit of discussion about limiting announcements and certain things that take up extra time during the convention. And I think some of those I'm going to implement. We may run all announcements through the convention coordinator. We may as part of the convention rules, let folks know that announcements will be limited to either just before or just after the mid-morning break or just before the noon recess. There are things that you can do to streamline a meeting to make sure that that business is conducted in a timely manner. And beyond that, and I didn't keep a stopwatch on some of the discussions, but last year, 07 or 06, we did limit by agreement of the convention discussion of resolutions and bylaws to 20 minutes. And that when we exceeded that 20 minutes, or if it appeared that there was still more discussion to be had, that extending debate was determined by a yay or nay vote of the membership. And we may, and I think in a couple of instances this year, we may have exceeded that 20 minutes. But I really want people to know that while we're not going to stifle debate or discussion, we are going to try to keep the convention program moving so that we don't run into the situation that we ran into last Friday afternoon.
Mitch, we do have another call, but I'm going to assert my privilege as host here and insert a comment. And before I do, I want to be very clear that this is not my comment, but it is a comment that I received in email. And it regards the actual presentation of the resolutions, and it was expressed to me actually by two or three people that they felt that one of the problems is that there were too many do pass recommendations on resolutions that really it should have been either a no recommendation or do not pass. Do you have any comment about that?
Well, it's interesting because, and I am far from a scholar in parliamentary procedure, but I learned a long time ago that it is not appropriate for the resolutions committee to make a do not pass recommendation. Now, I think some of the resolutions this year that came out with no recommendation, folks made motions from the floor as appropriate. I think the issue is really the judgment of the resolutions committee. And the thing about ACB is that if enough people question the judgment of the resolutions committee, you can vote a resolution down. I didn't think there were too many due passes. I think that some of the resolutions perhaps weren't as well crafted as perhaps they could have been. I had a chat just before we went on the air with Chris Gray, our former president, who let me know that one of the resolutions that we dealt with at the board meeting Saturday dealing with the National Library Service that had to do with inserting page numbers that the digital talking book machines don't have the capability of doing that, or the recording equipment. So had they had that information when the resolution was being dealt with, maybe the resolution wouldn't have come to the floor in the first place. So what we have to do is provide the best information available to the committee and make sure that the committee does its homework. And when I served on the resolutions committee, I served for, 16, 17 years, and I chaired it for three. If a resolution came to us and we didn't have all of the necessary information after we did our deliberations, it was our responsibility to go look for that information. If we had to hunt down folks, not just at the convention, but around the country, to get us the information, we did that. And that's what the Resolutions Committee needs to do. It needs to be as informed and educated and knowledgeable about these issues as possible.
All right, let's bring our other caller in. And I still want to talk to you about how to achieve your goals externally. But we'll bring another caller in. Hi there, you're with Mitch and Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, it's Steve Bauer.
Hey, Steve Bauer.
Hello, Steve.
Good evening, Mitch.
Good evening.
I would first say you two need to have your heads examined, but that's beside the point.
People have said that before.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a two-part question on one topic. You're on ACB Radio. I've been a part of ACB Radio for 5-plus years now. What plans do you have for ACB Radio, whether that be increase or change in service, decrease in service? What's going on in your head regarding this absolutely, I guess I would call it a treasure of ACB?
Well, I gotta tell you, Steve, that my expertise or my experience is, you know, there are some leaders who don't want to appoint people to chair committees, or they don't want people working for them who are smarter than they are. I've never had a problem with that. It's that's not an ego thing for me. I'd like to have everybody who's on chairing a committee smarter than me in their area of expertise. So people like Marlena and Chrissy Cochran, yourself, I will be listening and taking your input regarding the future of ACB radio very much to heart, because I'm not an expert on ACB radio. I enjoy ACB radio, but you're the folks who are involved on a day-to-day basis, and I think ACB radio is the greatest thing to happen to the American Council of the Blind in terms of spreading the word about our organization that we've seen, you know, probably since our founding in 1961. And so I want to promote ACB radio as much as possible, but I'm far from the expert. I will be relying on the programmers, the folks in leadership positions in ACB radio, on ACB radio, to come to me and bring me proposals on how we can expand and extend the reach of the ACB radio, of ACB radio, and all of the streams that we have going.
Okay. All right. All right.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to go lick my wounds since you inserted on me.
Well, honey, let me tell you, I had fun, did you? Take care, Mr. Bauer.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, he's one of my favorite people. 866-666-7926. Externally, how do we achieve your vision externally?
Well, a couple of things. One, you know, folks have said in the past ACB doesn't have a philosophy. ACB does have a philosophy. What we have fallen short on is not necessarily putting that philosophy, putting our goals and our ideas about blindness into writing. So, you know, we did the education white paper a few years ago. We've got the rehabilitation white paper now. One of the reasons that I wanted Paul Edwards to chair the Board of Publications is Paul is one of the best writers we have. And my intention is to use Paul's talents not just to make sure we have an independent, you know, Board of Publications, but also because Paul can write and because we need to put to words what this organization believes in. So one of the things we're going to do is to make sure that people know what ACB believes in. And we're going to put that in writing, and we're going to disseminate that far and wide. The other thing is that, it's probably the toughest committee to put together, is we need a strong, viable, knowledgeable public relations committee. And I'm putting that together. I think that I've got a chairperson for that committee. We need to hit the media and hit the media hard. We made lots of good press with the currency lawsuit a while back. But there are other issues that we need to also address. And I want somebody chairing a committee who knows how to work the media. So we're going to have a strong public relations committee. And beyond that, we need to be visible. I was chatting with Melanie this week in October in San Antonio. The National Council of State Agencies for the Blind is holding their annual meeting. I was there 2 years ago when they met in San Diego. Probably won't go this year, but that's still kind of up in the air. But they've just put a call out for papers. And what I want to do is for us to provide a panel on the rehabilitation white paper to present our philosophy of rehabilitation to the members of NCSAB, a preponderance of whom are very supportive of the NFB's notion of rehabilitation. Well, we have a different approach to rehabilitation of blind and visually impaired people, and I think it's an approach that will meet with great support once folks hear about it. So those are some of the things I have in mind in terms of meeting our vision externally. We need to, I think the old expression is we need to stop hiding our light under a bushel basket. You know, people say, oh, you don't know about ACB. Well, hopefully under this administration, they'll begin to.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. We have a call. We have a couple of messages, and we will return. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll-free, 1-866-666-7926.
All right, and our guest tonight is the newly elected president of the American Council of the Blind, Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch, we have a call. Shall we bring him on in?
Absolutely.
All right. Hi there. You're with Mitch and Marlena. Who's this?
Mitch, George Wurzel. That's my name.
Hello, George.
Hey, George.
I didn't get to the Life members reception this year, so I don't know if you were there or not.
I don't think I'm a Life member.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of another George then.
No.
Okay.
No, I, and just so you know who I am, so you don't think I'm bushwhacking anybody. My brother is the president of the NFB of Michigan, and I'm
okay.
Blind as well.
All right.
But I hold no philosophy one way or the other towards one organization or the other. I'm not trying to be a mugwumper or whatever, but
that's a good word.
I have an agenda, and that's the education of blind kids. I run a camp for blind kids in Michigan.
That's where I know your name from. Absolutely.
And this summer we will run right at about 300, not quite, probably 300 kids through our camp between the ages of 7 and 18. We're the largest employer of blind youth in the state of Michigan. During the summer, out of 29 employees, 19 of our employees are blind.
Fantastic.
So we try to eat, sleep, and drink, the kinds of things that we're trying to teach. But one thing that I see that both organizations aren't paying enough attention to, one is getting youth involved in your organization. I've been to your state convention here and the NFB state convention here in Michigan. And I will say that the NFB youth chapter in Michigan is quite strong, so they have a lot of people in it. But where I really see that we need to make some direction, both organizations, everybody needs to make the direction. Kids are coming out of high school with zero skills. And, I mean, we have to find a way to address that issue. With no child left behind, in theory, that can't happen, but the reality is that we're such a small population, they can still sweep blind people under the rug and get away with it. And how do we get people to be accountable?
Well, I have, there are two of our affiliates, George, are are doing a really good job, and there may be others. These are the two that I'm personally aware of that are doing a great job in recruiting blind and visually impaired youth into their affiliates, and that's the Utah and the Georgia affiliates. And I'm planning on drawing upon their expertise for national recruitment efforts. But you're absolutely right. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm beating mainstreaming to death, because I came through a resource program in junior and senior high school in the 60s. But clearly there are an awful lot of kids coming out of mainstream programs in high schools who don't know how to function as blind and visually impaired young adults. And there are states, California has done some of this, where you have summer programs at camp facilities where they, you know, they bring the kids in from, say, 16 to 18 to learn some of the skills, but it's really remedial training that they're getting. There are things that they should have been learning, you know, much, much earlier. So you're absolutely right, and you know, I'm open to any initiative, any proposed initiative that would
really
kind of move in that direction.
I want to get everybody involved in some sort of direction to hold education systems' feet to the fire. I'm a product of a school for the blind. I mean, I went to Michigan School for the Blind from third grade through 11th grade. Then I went back and went to a regular high school and graduated from regular high school my senior year. But the thing that I'm seeing, even all the kids who came out of blind schools, I mean, who came out of regular school systems during the 60s and early 70s, they got much better education of skills of blindness than they're getting today, because they had all of these blind schools that they kind of held up as a benchmark as to, you know, our kids need to have as high a skill levels as these kids.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And
with the death of all the schools for the blind.
Yeah, and but I got to tell you, it's in no way meant to mitigate your comments, but the reality is, I think the kids who are coming through school now, who are not disabled, are getting a poorer education. So, you know, it's sort of a across the board problem. But you know, our concern is blind and visually impaired kids. And you're absolutely right. We do need to see more and better training of our blind and visually impaired youth.
We just had a class reunion for I would have graduated in class of 73, and there would have been 32 kids in the class, including myself. So at the class reunion, we did kind of an impromptu survey. Out of those 32 kids, 28 of them became gainful employed.
Wow.
With real jobs.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, now they say that, you know, the national average is, you know, above 70, and I've even seen some studies that say as much as 85% of blind people are unemployed.
Well, if those figures were attributed to any ethnic minority, there would be a national scandal.
Yeah. And that's the kind of attention we need to bring to our crisis externally. We all know it internally, but
yep, absolutely.
We need to develop this as a crisis.
There's still an expectation in society that disabled persons, generally blind people specifically, will sit home, collect welfare, collect SSI, and not work. And we have to change that.
It's interesting. I have a year-end report from the Michigan School for the Blind from 1907, and they said in that report that the ultimate goal of the School for the Blind at that point in time was to make sure that blind people were not a burden on society. society and could earn their own way in the world.
And they
were saying that in 1907.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Here we are 100
yeah.
years later.
Yeah.
The more things change,
the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
All right, George, well, thank you so much. And I'm still waiting for you to call me back in the open forum to tell me about brailing on plastic milk cartons.
Oh, yeah, God, that works so good.
I know, you made me a promise, buddy.
That works so good.
All right, you call me back in open forum.
I wanted to tell you one thing about our camp.
Okay, real quick, though.
The fact that we're taking kids out on a 75-foot schooner on Lake Michigan
yeah.
for 3 days. And
need an adult counselor?
Pardon?
Need an adult counselor?
Yeah, we have about 5,000 volunteers that want to
Yeah, but nobody like Mitch and me.
Yeah.
It's a working ship. That's what's really cool about
wow,
it.
Wow, that
it's
is cool.
Apple,
that's
so
cool.
So they have to go out and do fish studies and
yeah.
water quality studies.
Very cool.
Be a great time.
All right, sir. Will you take care?
Thank you for talking to me, Mitch. Have
sure, no problem.
All right,
take
have a good one.
Bye
bye. 866-666-7926. George was a guest on my show not too long ago, and he actually does, he does kitchen remodeling.
Oh, gee, I wish I'd known,
I know. He could have, you, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, we have a call. Hi there, you're with Mitch and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, this is Ron Melloman.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Well, Mitch, first of all, congratulations to both of you in winning your elections.
Well, thank you.
And,
thank you.
I'm really excited about the new opportunities that face ACB. Having said that, I have a question, Mitch. It's a difficult question, actually. But currently, we have two offices: one in Washington, one in Minneapolis. And it's expensive, of course, to maintain two offices like that. Do you have any thoughts or any plans or any ideas about consolidating those offices and as a result, gaining some savings?
Well, the first thing is that I was on the office review committee when we voted make sure that the two leases, we extended the Washington lease, the D.C. lease, so that they both came due in August of 08. And we did that with an eye toward, and we're going to begin this process this fall, looking at the economics. There are a number of factors. The ideal would be to have one office. Whether it is economically feasible to have that one office in Washington, D.C. or in the D.C. suburbs has to be looked at. We've had a Minneapolis office for many, many years. We had it because of our late CFO, Jim Olson. I believe regardless of what happens, we must have a Washington, D.C. presence. We also have a new comptroller who is based out of Minneapolis. So that's all by way of saying that when the Office Review Committee sits down and starts looking at this issue, there are a number of variables. You know, it isn't a simple matter of saying, well, it should be cheaper to have one office in D.C. than one smaller office in D.C. and an office in Minneapolis. We have to look at the cost of a larger office. We have to look at whether staff either way would be ready, willing, and able to move. My ideal, you know, I'll be honest with you. My preference would be to have one office, and that would be in D.C. I don't know that that's going to happen because we have to look at the fiscal side of it. We have to look at the personnel side of it. But, I've named the two board members to the Office Review Committee, our treasurer, Mike Godino, one of our board members, Ed Bradley. I'm going to be looking for two affiliate presidents. to serve on that committee as well. And I will, you know, look at their recommendations, and they'll be working with Melanie Brunson, our executive director. And I will take their recommendations seriously. The committee will vote on it, and it'll go to the full board of directors. So I may, you know, I may or may not be in the majority on this one. I think we have to look at all the factors, and certainly one of those factors will be the fiscal viability of whatever we choose to do.
Is this something that would come before the membership?
Not, it has not up to now, Ron. It is typically, it's an administrative issue that has typically been the responsibility of the board of directors to deal with, and you know, I think that's the kind of thing that really you need to rely on the expertise of your board to make that decision. And I'm confident that that the board of directors will make a decision that takes all of the factors that I've addressed into account.
Okay, well, it's a very difficult decision. I don't envy anyone that's deliberating on it, though it's certainly something that needs to be looked at very seriously.
Absolutely, and as I say, it's going to be one of the more difficult issues that ACB faces, because 13 months from now, you know, the leases come due.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
All right, thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Go on, Ron.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've got Mitch with us for maybe another 10 minutes or so. I only begged an hour out of his life here for the program, so please feel free to call and ask your questions. In the second hour, we will be in open forum and be delighted to have y'all call and discuss anything you'd like. If you went to convention, what did you think? Maybe you've got some suggestions for a convention, for future conventions, etc.
We will listen for the second hour.
Ah, there you go. All right. And I'll give him a quiz afterwards to make that he listened. So. So now, Mitch, can you give us the scoop on any committee chairs that you've already appointed?
I can give one that I think is pretty important. I have asked, and he has agreed, Dr. Otis Stevens, who is one of the nation's experts on the Americans with Disabilities Act, and one of a former president of ACB. Otis will chair our Constitution and Bylaws Committee.
Oh, wow, that's a wonderful appointment. That's...
And I am just so thrilled to have his expertise at this point, because you know, we usually end up with, I think this year we actually only had four amendments, but it's a tough job. So Otis will chair that committee. I announced Friday afternoon that Artis Bazin would remain as chair of the membership committee. David Trott from Alabama will continue as chair of the Resource Development Committee, and I'm going to bring in either folks with entrepreneurial experience or folks who seem very very committed to fundraising. Will be on that committee. I think I can also say, because we had a nice chat yesterday, that Carla Rushival will remain as chair of the will be our convention coordinator. And let's see, I think a lot of the other committees are still kind of up in the air, but those are some that we've already agreed to.
Now, if current committee chairs would like you to consider having them remain committee chairs, what should they do?
Well, they should email or call me. Email DM, D as in Donna, M as in Mitch, Pomerantz, P-O-M-E-R-A-N-T-Z, at earthlink.net. That's our home email. Or call. The world has my cell number now, so we might as well give it out. Folks want to talk to me directly. 626-372-5150. And I should say that our webmaster will continue to be Earlene Hughes. I should say that.
Oh, that's good.
That decision has also been made.
That's good. Now, I'm assuming that folks who would like to be involved in committees can contact you at these contact points.
Correct.
But what do you want to know from them? I remember specifically when Chris was elected that one of the things he said to me was, I hear from people and they say, well, I want to be involved somehow, but that didn't help to... So what do you want to know personally from folks who would like to become involved?
I'm asking for some information, what experience they have, and it doesn't necessarily have to be within their state or local affiliate. It might be relevant experience they've gained in other organizations and other activities. But I really do want people to kind of, I don't want to have to guess what committees they're interested in. So I'm asking folks to give me a couple of committees that interest them. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to help them because I'm talking to a lot of folks, and a lot of folks are providing me specific information on the committees of interest. So I'd like them to be as specific as they can.
And is there a deadline by which folks should contact you?
When I posted on Monday, I think I said the 31st of July. A lot of our committees we have to have announced within 30 days, a number of them within 60. I really want to have the lion's share of our committees appointed within 30 days of the close of our convention, which would put it around August, 6th, 7th, those in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact that, that Donna and I are going on a trip to a conference in the Louisville area, actually, beginning August 8th. So I'd like to have most of it wrapped up by the time we leave.
How do you think holding the office of presidency of the American Council of the Blind is going to change your life?
Well,
you like it when I put those slammers at the end, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I really do have I really have had a life outside of ACB, and the first thing that I had to do this week was send an email. I've been in a fantasy football league at work for 27 years. I've opted out of my fantasy football league.
Oh dear.
I don't expect to, we're in a timeshare club. I don't know how many vacations, at least long vacations, we'll be taking, but we're going to take a bunch of short trips, hopefully. I think that my hobby time probably will be curtailed some, at least for a while, until I have the committees in place and know that the chairs of those committees and the officer liaisons for those committees have a good handle on the direction we're going. But you know, my commitment is that ACB is my priority in terms of my available time. As I said a few weeks ago on the show, my boss is very forgiving and very understanding, and I've got good staff. So you know, my outside time will be devoted to ACB, and a certain amount of my inside time maybe as well, because I've you know, I think it's important that we set the organization on the path that I've kind of described today, this evening.
Well, I certainly appreciate the time you've taken to be with us tonight. And speaking of that, when you were running for office, you had a great idea. I actually wanted to do it as well, and I thought, no, it'll look like I'm copying Mitch. But your office hours, that was a wonderful idea. Do you plan to continue? I mean, I know you're reachable anytime the world has your cell phone number, but sometimes it makes some sense to know when you can get someone and know that it's, do you plan to continue that?
Yeah, I do plan on continuing that. I've got to talk to Melanie about some of the logistics, see if we can use Meeting Place, because I would also like to include on each call maybe a couple of board members. So that's my plan. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do one prior to our going back to the Louisville area in early August. And it is my intent to do it. I think the reality is that probably we'll have to do them on a monthly basis, but I think that's wholly doable. So we are planning on continuing them.
Well, congratulations on your victory, and I'm very much looking forward to working with you on the board, and I think we have a great board. I think that the joy of ACB's elections this year, whether it was secretary, president, first vice president, whatever office it was, is that we had great candidates running, we just had the cream of the cream. And,
well, it's. I think we have a great board. I'm so pleased that you're secretary, and the minutes were great. Even the UN tree, which is sort of an inside joke, but
the UN
tree instead of treaty.
Yeah. Well, I said to him, "What did you say?" And he said treaty, and I wrote tree.
Tree. Yes. Well, you are kind of a tree hugger. So.
I am, and I'll never be sorry for it.
No. But I think we have a great board. And I think that, you know, we've got a fantastic organization, fantastic membership, and as many folks who want to work and want to participate, we need you.
All right. Well, thank you, President Pomerantz.
Thank you, Secretary Lieberg.
And I look forward to chatting with you soon and perhaps making you a somewhat regular guest, maybe every 3 months or so on
that
the show.
That would be fine.
All right. Well, you go give that lovely wife of yours a hug for me, and we will talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
And that was the president of the American Council of the Blind, and we will be back in open forum in just a minute. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTND-LP Macomb 106.3 FM. Information on how you can donate to ACB Radio is available at our webpage, www.acbradio.org. And thank you for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. All right, we are back. 866-666-7926. If you called in the first hour, it's okay to call in the second hour. If you didn't call in the first hour, what the heck? Call me now, 866-666-7926. You know, when I made the announcement about Ronnie Millsap sponsoring the ACB Radio's presence at convention, I also said something, and I fear maybe I don't say it often enough to you directly here on the show, but every week I really wonder, I think, oh my gosh, will people listen? Will people call? And And every week you do. And I so appreciate the fact that you allow me to come into your home on a Sunday night in North America, a Monday morning in Universal Time. And those of you who listen in the on demand, that you take the time to do that during your day. The archives for my show are very much not up to date, and I will be working on remedying that. There's quite a bit of work that goes into doing that. It isn't just a matter of getting the shows and putting them somewhere. And we now, ACB Radio, has a volunteer archivist who has agreed to assist me with writing the code that's necessary, etc. So we're hoping that with a little bit of help, we'll get those archives up to date sooner rather than later, and get everything back to the way that it should be. 866-666-7926. You know, I've been sort of out of touch with what's going on the lists this week. I actually dedicated my most of my efforts to doing work, ACB work, and got a fair amount of that done. And we have a call. Let's see who it is. Hi, you're with Marlena.
Marlena, this is Bell Hook.
Hey, Bell.
Hey, for the benefit of somebody who has never attended a national convention, would you please explain how I know the delegate votes, the standing vote, and do they add them all together? How do they actually come up with the final number?
Oh, all right. Well, let me try to explain that, and then if I misspeak, I'm sure someone will call back in and correct me.
Well, I'm going to hang up and listen to you, and congratulations, Marlene.
Well, thank you, sir.
Catch you later.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. The delegate vote and the standing vote. The standing vote is your individual vote. So, for example, Bill, if you come to convention and you want to vote for Jane Doe for secretary, you would stand during the standing vote, or for president or whatever. You would rise during the standing vote. And you are given a badge with an orange dot on it that indicates that you, in fact, are qualified to vote, that you're a dues-paying member, you're qualified to vote, therefore your badge should be counted. Okay. So that's the standing vote. The delegate vote, of course, each affiliate of ACB carries a certain number of votes, and I do not have in front of me the exact ratio of members to votes, but each affiliate does carry a certain number of votes. And, for example, California carries 25 votes because it's a very large affiliate. Florida carries 25 votes. It's a very large affiliate. Washington carries, I think, 17 votes. You know, we're not doing too bad, but we're not as large as California or Florida. So, too, do the special interest groups carry affiliate votes, again, by size. Once the standing vote is taken, then the call of the roll is done by the secretary, and the votes are counted and added together so that the affiliate vote and the standing vote. Now, I have never participated in that part of the process, but I will next year as ACB's new secretary. So I can't speak to exactly how the the process is done, how the votes, you know, who does that? Maybe someone who's listening, who's been up at that head table, can do that. But that in general is how it works as I understand it. So I hope that helped. And sometimes those standing votes, I tell you, you better have comfortable shoes on because sometimes they take a long time. 866-666-7926. We have a call. Let's bring them in. Hi, you're with Marlena. Hello?
Hello, Marlena. It's Bernice.
Hey, Bernice.
I wanted to explain that to you.
Yes, please do, because I'm doing it in glittering generalities.
Tell me when.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, at the 40th annual convention of the American Council, they had each of the living presidents say a few words, and there was a tape from Reese Robrand, who has since passed away. And Reese made the point that our voting structure was a cornerstone on which the American Council of the Blind was founded. And what it does, it's a protective kind of thing where each affiliate gets one vote for every 25 members for major fraction thereof.
That was what I couldn't remember if it was 25 or 20. So I was avoiding the statistics. So I'm glad that you had that. Okay, go ahead.
And what that does is that represents those people at home who cannot afford or for one reason or another can't be at convention. So if you're there, you get your standing vote, but your affiliate gets the affiliate vote that represents the whole of your membership.
And so one thing that it would be useful for folks who can't go to convention to do would be to follow things like the Braille Forum, look at the candidates page, see who's running, and instruct your delegate.
Well, that's another issue that's a sensitive issue, that delegates go uninstructed. But it, for the most part, there are some affiliates that have in the past instructed their delegates.
Yes, I've seen that.
And there are affiliates that have invoked the unit rule from time to time. However, we're very sensitive about that issue in California, and there are straw polls done, and when we have our caucus, again, another straw poll is done, you know, so that our delegate casts a vote based on their best knowledge of the membership, of the wishes of the membership.
Yeah, and I think when I said instruct the delegate, what I really meant to say is let the delegate know how you personally
would like
to vote. That's really what I meant to say.
Yes, the delegate needs to have a sense of how the membership feels about, you know, particular issues that they know are coming to the floor, or about candidates that are running for office.
Exactly. And so even when members can't come to convention, it's really important that they follow who's running, so that they can say to the delegate, if I were going, I would vote for Bernice.
And so everybody that's at home really still has 1/25th of a vote.
Right.
And you know, I've heard talk over the, you know, years that people want to do away with our voting structure, but I personally feel that it's a far more equitable structure. The other side of the coin is that an affiliate only can have up to 25 votes for 625 members, and that too was put in place so that, you know, there are affiliates that will never be large, like maybe Vermont or, you know, Maine, that, you know, there's some total, or maybe Connecticut, the total of their membership is maybe 60 or 70 people. They can never compete with Oklahoma, Missouri, Florida, California, you know,
sure,
et cetera. And it would never be fair. So that's why there's a cap, so that it gives a little bit of equity.
Yeah, because California, you have something like 1,300 members, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, well, I appreciate you explaining that. I have meant to, for the last 2 weeks, go up and look at the exact number, you know, because I know it's 20 or 25, but I didn't know exactly the number, so I've sort of been avoiding being that detailed. So I'm awfully glad that you did that. And you've been coming to convention for how many years?
This was my 35th consecutive annual national convention.
So I think you have a little knowledge there, huh?
Yeah, I used to crawl around on my knees polling the students. there was one other point I wanted to make is that in the olden days, before they had that fancy calculator.
Yes.
And they, Roberta Douglas and you know, a team of people would, go through and count everybody, and then they'd go up to Jim Olson and he'd, you know, crunch the numbers. Now they just punch the numbers into the machine, as they call the roll, and it's done. And they just add in the standing vote, and that's how they come out with the total so quickly. And it's usually, if he had been there, it would have been done by Lane Waters. But I think Quan was doing it.
Ah, okay.
I believe that's who was doing it.
Well, I'm glad to know that I don't have to do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, counting on your fingers and your toes. And
yeah, indeed, indeed.
It used to take a little while to get the end result, but we're much, much faster about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, elections did move along much more quickly. You know, I had, before I let you go, I want to ask you a question that you reminded me of. I had a discussion today with Nikki Kobe in Minnesota. And she actually said that one of her problems at convention was that she has, especially on Friday, she has a medical problem with her foot, and she needs to not be in one position for any length of time. And she felt that during the voting, she couldn't get up and move around. And I suggested to her, and I'm just wondering what you think about this and maybe what others think about this, but because I think there is a need sometimes that people do have to move around.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get up and leave to conduct some business on something while we were electing. And what I did was turn my badge over so that I wouldn't be counted.
What they said is to put your hand over your badge.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
But turning it over works fine,
yeah,
too, as long as that they don't count your
dot. Yeah. So that's what I suggested to her. If they don't see the dot, they're not going to count you.
You know, it has become a huge issue about people moving about. And of course, the conventions used to be a lot smaller than they are in you know, current times. But the in 1982, when we were in Atlanta, Carla and Brian Charleston were running against each other. And now I'm forgetting which one won by one vote.
Wow.
You know, and if people, you know, when they keep saying that there's fewer people voting, you know, people are oscillating in and out of the room. And,
wow.
And it's amazing how, you know.
Wow.
How that happened.
By one vote.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. I was thinking I'd love to have the tape of that election to refresh my memory, but it was really interesting.
Well, you are quite the convention historian.
Well, there's others in the that are remember who said what, when, where, why, and how, but I do remember a lot about process. You know, and the other thing they were, when Mitch was talking about, when they were talking about younger people in the organization, you know, CCLVI
And for people who don't know, what is CCLVI?
Oh, Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. we have a new scholarship committee in place, and they really did a yeoman's job of putting this year's program together. And we were able to give $3,000 scholarships, and there was enough money left from our benefactor in that earmarked account that we were able to stipend. It ended up only two of them got to come to convention, but two of the three were there. And I think where we lose out is that it would have been nice, their names were just mentioned from the podium. It would have been nice if they had been allowed to say a brief word from the podium also. I think all of the young people that come to the convention as scholarship recipients should do that. Whether they're an ACB scholarship recipient or a recipient of a scholarship from a state or a special interest affiliate. And I'm just so pleased because one of them, the undergraduate student, is wanting to become very active in the organization, and our graduate student has already been in touch with our chapter development person and is wanting to start a chapter in Colorado where she's attending school.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing we need. They came, they got really energized, and we made a real effort to make sure that they felt welcome and got them introduced around, and they were required to attend, you know, a certain number of events specified and some of their choice, and I think that those kinds of things really are beneficial in the long run.
Well, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool, and congratulations. That's a wonderful, and that's what we need to do. We need to value people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think it's on both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
We need to value the young folks, and we need to value the older folks who are losing their vision
mm-hmm.
due to blindness. And we, you know, of course we'd like everybody to learn Braille. That would be wonderful. But you know what? If I've got somebody in front of me who is working through macular degeneration and working through trying to figure out how they're going to find the milk in the refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
you know, my first emphasis with them is going to be, let's teach you some skills to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And let's acknowledge that for a lot of sighted folks, that learning to read Braille is as hard of an admission as giving up the driver's license.
Yes, giving up the car keys and
yep.
the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And mm-hmm. so while certainly we want everybody to go down the Braille road, there's a time and a place for it, and it isn't at the beginning of the process, I think.
You know, I was always trying to figure out some way to make a connection, but we knew since about 1992 or 93 that Lady Bird Johnson was visually impaired. She was using a CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard an interview that was taped of her in 1999 when she was 86. And in her Texas accent, she said that she had macular degeneration.
Yeah.
But during the services yesterday, Lucy, her daughter Lucy, said that her mother was on oxygen, she was on IV, and she couldn't walk because she'd had some stroke, and she couldn't see, but she said that didn't stop her. She wanted to go to a museum, and she said we were like a rolling hospital. And you know, I've often wondered, she would have been a wonderful spokesperson.
Yeah, she would have.
But I've often wondered, too, Lucy said that she did a lot of reading for her mother, and I wondered, surely she had the talking book program, I'm not, you know, but it was never mentioned and whatever, but you don't know to what extent a person like that really did have, you know.
Exactly.
Services.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, thank you so much.
Topics,
yeah, I
that.
Tell you what. Now, you heard what President Pomerantz, gosh, that sounds too formal. You heard what Mitch said about what to do, Miss Committee Chair.
Yeah, I'll call him. Okay.
All right. Well, you take care, and you have a good week, and give Roger my love.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness, we covered a lot of territory on that call. Look, Bill, what you started, 866-666-7926. It's 22 minutes past the hour, give or take. This is the hour on which I heavily rely on your calls. It's a little quiet this week, but that's usual when I return from being gone. Although there are quite a good number of you listening, so feel free to call and express your thoughts or whatever it is you might like to share. I want to tell you that next week we are inviting back to the Marlena program Paul Nugent. Paul is over in the UK, and his subject of expertise is reincarnation. We had quite a number of calls and interest in that topic, and actually we couldn't get to all of the calls the night that we had Paul on. So Paul will be joining us next week, and we will again be discussing the topic of reincarnation with Paul Nugent. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. I missed that the last time. I hope I am able to hear it next week.
Well, I hope you are too, Miss Pam.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I very much erred because I just finished starting dinner. Is that a conundrum or a
sounds like an oxymoron? Yeah,
not a conundrum. You know what I mean? It's a what's that word?
An oxymoron.
Oxymoron. Yes. Started. Finished starting dinner is
yes.
An oxymoron. Yes. Anyhow, and I thought I might bring it up here because it is an open hour. But there has been a gentleman, in fact, I believe it was going to be sent to the blind leadership list. A petition has been started through petitionsonline.com to petition Yahoo to get rid of those bleeping audio captures that we need.
Uh-huh.
And I signed it, and I don't have the actual... Well, I could send a copy if it's needed, but I think if you go to petitionsonline.com, I believe you can get to it from there.
Well, that's something that the ACB's Information Access Committee certainly ought to know about, and there are at least two of us listening right now. I assume Roger's listening, and I'm listening, and we, Roger Peterson and I, are members of the Access Committee. Susan Palmer-Mazrui has been the chair. We haven't had any great announcements from the new president yet as to what the changes are going to be, but that's definitely something the Information Access Committee should take a look at. Now, what does the petition ask for instead?
Asks that an audio captcha or some, actually, I guess they want something similar to what I'm guessing. These are my words, not theirs. The gentleman actually is a fellow in Brazil, and a local friend of his started passing it out to various lists, including Blind Tech. In fact, the poor guy who authored it didn't realize that he had to sign it, so he had to go back and sign it himself. Apparently, he had attempted to start a group on Yahoo Groups, and his mother, who is sighted but wears glasses, had a very hard time even reading the CAPTCHA. So he said, you know, he sent this off and here through his friend in America who informed Blind Tech and other lists. And he said, please, you know, we need something other than these visual captures. We'd like an audio capture, something so that a blind person can sign up independently. Otherwise, we need to wait until someone from Yahoo Groups calls us back.
And, you know, the problem, of course, is that it's my understanding, and I believe I am correct, that the ADA, it hasn't been determined that it really applies to websites. And so where do you start?
Yeah, that's why maybe right now a petition is the only way. It made some headway with Google eventually.
Yeah.
I suppose maybe that's what they're hoping. It would be nice if, and I'm, believe me, I'm not knocking ADA, but it would be nice if people just got the message and or organizations, corporations got the message and said, gee whiz, this doesn't cost us an arm and a leg to do and just did things that would be more assistive.
Well, and I think that's where you go with structured negotiation, you know, much like what Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian do.
Yeah.
You know, you try to do things without the court system. You know, you try to find the balance, hear both sides of the issue, make a recommendation that isn't burdensome on the doer and that won't make the waiter wait until they're too old to see it implemented.
Exactly.
And then you work toward that. So the Information Access Committee is very interested in these issues, and I will do some scoogling around and look and see where this petition is and try to get it out to the Information Access Committee.
It's on petition. If you want me to send you a copy, because they send me a carbon copy when I sent it, when I signed it, rather.
Yeah, why don't you send me in, you know, to my email.
To your email.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I shall do that. It's petitions online. I think that's where the money access petition.
Now, are they going to do anything with the petition? Does it say, you know, this will be active for?
They did. Not that I saw. Then again, this young man is. In fact, I even said to his friend here when his friend said that his. I wrote him an email and said I had signed it, and when he said that the petition, that the author had not signed it, I wrote him and I said, you might want to tell him, because he also said, this guy I was writing to, I can't even think of his name right now, said that he had sent it to a couple of Portuguese lists, and I said, you know what, I wonder if he doesn't know that he needs to sign it, so
yeah,
maybe he needs a little help, and I don't know what goes into the this. I take this to be a young person.
Sure.
So well, I don't know whether what mechanisms there are for helping the guy along. Maybe somebody wants to kind of give it a little more teeth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe I will send it to you, and maybe you, if the Access Committee wants to do this, they can sort of help them flesh it out a little.
Yeah, please send it to me. I would love to take a look at it, and I will pass it on to the Information Access Committee.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I think. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Take care.
All right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. The subject of the CAPTCHA is a frustrating one, and it's one that is reasonably well solved, although I have to say I have encountered audio CAPTCHA, which was supposed to be the solution. And my gosh, the audio was so muffled. It was almost impossible to understand. So what do we do? You know, how do we find a system that will keep the bots away but allow the humans to subscribe, and even humans with visual impairments? That is the problem. All right, we have another call, and we're going to take that call. If the caller will hold on just one moment. I want to let you know that you're listening to the Marlena program on ACB Radio Mainstream and WTNDLP FM Macomb. And if you're interested in donating to ACB Radio, we have a PayPal link up there, and we would sure love whatever contribution you feel you can make to keep our service growing and going. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, it's Nikki.
Oh, Nikki, your phone sounds horrible.
Does it really?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that's interesting. It's the same phone I was talking to you on yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Thursday, whenever that was.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You want to try to call me right back?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it,
no, I'll just call you back.
It sounds like you're an electronic person.
Okay, I will call you right back.
All right, bye. My goodness, she sounded like she ought to have been in a science fiction movie there. When she hears it on the replay, she'll laugh. 866-666-7926. We're waiting for Nikki to call us back and share in the open forum portion of the Marlena program. And this may be she. Let's see if this is. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
It's Nikki. Does this sound better?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Okay,
you don't sound like an electronic person.
That's weird.
Oh, wait till you hear it on the replay.
I can't listen to myself on recording.
Oh, well, so. You couldn't listen to that either, so there you go. So what's on your mind tonight, Ms. Colby?
Well, I figured since, you know, you had brought up the issue of being able to move around during election, one of the issues, you know, and I talked to you about this, and I think it needs to be given somewhat a little bit of exposure, is I think there's a lot of people that do have health needs, and I don't think we're always very good about speaking up for what we need in the blindness community sometimes.
Well, now let me get you to be more specific,
okay.
Because Mitch says that he and Donna are listening. So, and I know what you're talking about because we talked about this today, but go ahead and be as specific here as you were with me today so that Mitch knows
okay.
What you're meaning.
Okay, well, for example, one of the challenges that I noticed was if you had either a need to take medication or maybe had diabetes, and the session went long because we decided to wait for elections to be all finished, which has happened in the past, not so much this year, you're not going to, it may not be healthy for you to wait, and then you may have to leave. But, of course, no one's going to know that you need to know that it might go late. If I, as a person who needs to take a medication, don't ask to be notified if it's going to take longer. And Marlena and I, we also talked about the refrigerator issue. If we don't speak up early, and I do not actually, I've never needed the refrigerator. The only cooling needs I have is for soda, and that can be adequately done with an ice bucket and some ice. But I think that if we don't speak up, and this comes, I think a dialogue is good, but we can't have dialogue if no one says, hey, I need this. And I think sometimes we get swept along in the, you know, the greater issues, the larger issues, and sometimes won't say something about, well, I need this, and my needs are different from other blind people's, but I still need this.
And one of the things that we spoke about today that might help ameliorate at least the issue and the very the very valid issue of people who are diabetics or who are medication dependent and they've got to have it at a certain time and all of a sudden we're running over, you know, maybe we need to remind people at the end of each day or at the beginning of the first break in the morning, if you need food or medication, you know, the session could go over, or you know, somebody could do a much better job of wordsmithing that than I. And you know, you think, well, people ought to know that but sometimes people, it's their first convention. Sometimes people are perhaps older and they're new with taking their medication, or they have a new health concern and they don't, they just don't think about it in the excitement of the day. So.
Yeah.
I think that's one issue. And the issue on the refrigerators, what you and I talked about is the need for people to not speak up the minute they get to the hotel.
If you speak up early.
Right.
And I will tell you that we ended up needing to be at the hotel a day longer. And this isn't the exact same issue. But we did And it was later, but we talked to Carla. But she's not going to know, or whomever is doing convention things isn't going to know that you have a need if you don't tell her. I have yet to see anyone this clairvoyant in that issue.
Yeah.
And if you speak up, you know, if you know, okay, the number for this hotel is whatever, and I plan to go, if you speak up early, then the hotel can say, oh, yeah, we do have refrigerators, or no, we don't, but here are some suggestions, or you can ask for suggestions. Whereas if you call the day before, you're going to be definitely hurting.
And I think another thing to look at also is really exploring your own resources. Sometimes taking those ice packs and making sure your ice bucket is full and that there's always a pack in your ice bucket might eliminate the need for a refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly if you're only getting a refrigerator to keep your beer cold, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you're doing that, I'm a college student, and I'm sure I could give you better advice.
That's right. Use your bathtub.
Well, yeah, you'll get more in there anyway.
Just make sure you take it out every morning, or you leave enough room for yourself to get in
there. Yeah, because I do not want to sit next to you if you're not bathing.
That's right.
And that was really impolite of me, but, you know.
Well, I want to ask you another question, put you on the spot just a little bit.
Okay.
You've heard in the past hour, and certainly at convention, you've heard the need to bring younger people into our organization and to help younger people understand the importance of involvement. Never mind the importance of learning Braille and self-sufficiency
right.
skills. We can talk about that all night. But the importance of being involved at some level in our organization. And you are still in the age range of being a younger person. You may not think so, but you are. And I wonder, what are your thoughts about that as someone who is a college student? What would you, if you could craft a specific vehicle that ACB could use to attract your peers, what might that look like?
I think that would look, well, you've got several different, I mean, the challenge is there's no one stereotypical young person archetype that we can fit into, but one area where ACB shines is that you can market the ability to learn things. There are things as simple as the fact that in ACB, you learn the advocacy skills, so when you need help from your disability services office, or when you need to know how to get a mobility instructor to help you learn a new college campus or a new job, ACB has this wealth of resources, and I do mean a wealth. That's one of the best ways we can market it, because in reality, most people aren't going to join ACB, to be honest. I mean, some of us will, some of us won't, because they can help ACB. Originally, they're going to join because what can ACB do for them?
Right, or they're going to join because someone like me said, you're going to join.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there is that. And until they learn how to clone people and get Marlenas into every college to shepherd everybody in, I
well,
think that's the importance. The other thing that just sparked for me was, you know, we have people all over the United States in ACB. And if the local affiliates can start offering assistance to college students, you know, through scholarships or to young people who are just starting out getting employed, and offer either mentorship or just even friendship, some of the issues that we deal with are, should I get a guide dog? How do I adjust to having a guide dog and to a college campus? All of those issues, I think if ACB members think about it, most of you have something you can offer in that area. And it really just, I think the biggest thing that ACB has offered me, and I think a lot of college students and young people are looking for, is someone who can listen and help them put together the thoughts in their own mind. A lot of times I I have the resources I need. But ACB members have been what helps me figure out where all those resources are and how to put them together.
Well, when I dragged you into ACB, I knew in my heart that I had a star. And what you've just said, I'm so proud of you. I mean, you're very right on that. It's something that goes right back to the affiliates and even, never mind to the affiliates, but even to each of us as blind people. We need to mentor people. We need to reach out that hand to someone coming along from your generation and even younger and say, look, you know, hey, I've been there and hey, can I help? And I think you really hit the nail on the head for, what might be some foundation for a good, program for ACB to look at. And I hope that Mitch was listening. I think you had some very good comments there, my dear.
Well, thank you. I would just tell people, reach out to those little 8-year-olds who hate Braille and don't have anyone to play with.
Oh, remember those days?
I do. You wouldn't
she
let
said,
me forget them anyway.
She said, I'm not going to learn Braille. I'm not. And now you read Braille better than I do.
Well, you and I can argue that one all night, but...
Well, you make me very proud of you, and you know, I know you've got other priorities right now with school and medical issues and so on, but I hope the day will come when you will have the opportunity to be a leader in ACB, because you're a very solid thinker, and we are the better for having you with us.
Well, thank you, Marlena.
Well, you're welcome, Nikki. Now, we better cut this out or people accuse us of...
I know at least one listener who, if I get much more mushy, is going to be vomiting all over their keyboard. So.
Well, don't get that descriptive. Thanks, Nikki. Bye.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You are a college student. Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, don't get me started.
All right, I won't. All right, well, you take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. She really is some kind of woman. I used to say she's some kind of kid, but she's some kind of woman. 866-666-7926. It's about, we're looking almost at 45 minutes past the hour. I'll be with you for another 10 or 12 minutes and would love your company. So do feel free to call and participate. So next year we go to Louisville. Oh, what? We have a call. Let's take the call. Forget about what we do next year. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Madam Secretary, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know the next 10 minutes are going to get filled up now.
Well, man, we had to do some advocacy work down there when we were on vacation in the island.
You know? Oh, you did?
Yeah. We were out minding our own business, walking up and down the boardwalk.
Now, wait. You minding your own business?
Yeah.
Hold on. We talked about oxymoron earlier. There's another one. Okay, go ahead.
Well, there was nobody else's business to mind at the present time.
I see.
But we were kind of hitting some of our favorite watering holes, you know, just soaking in the Caribbean. Of course, everything's open air down there, and we're walking into this bar called Styx. And just as we're walking in, they're talking about blind people in insane asylums.
What? How did they know you were coming? Oh, I didn't know
that. Exactly. I go cruising in, you know, Candace and I and Dean, and I'm like, hey, you know, y'all need not be sticking us blind folks in insane asylums anymore. I got a problem with that. It was perfect timing. From then on, we were in like Flynn. I was like, I think y'all need to rectify this situation and buy me a rum and coke. And then from there, we proceeded to try to drink the island dry. But
oh, I bet you did.
Good thing they got a rum factory there.
So were they really talking about blind people in insane asylums?
Well, what it was there was
that's scary.
A blind school that was near an insane asylum in some little town or community that they lived in. I just walked in at the right time, which
was
great.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
After that, everybody on the island knew Dale was back in town.
Oh, my gosh.
We parlayed that into a little, this one guy, Tyrone, took me for a ride in his dinghy. For his sailboat, we're out in the harbor buzzing around, and next thing you know, Dale's driving left, right. Oh, what sailboat? Oh, sorry. Oh, goodness.
One time I was sailing a boat on Lake Washington, you know, a sailboat.
Right.
And so I was just learning how to sail. And so my navigator would tell me, you know, okay, you know, we need to go this way. So this boat came up real close to us, and the navigator said, "Watch out, the skipper's blind." And the other guy said, "What's the matter? She's been drinking?" And he said, "No, she really is blind." Boy, that boat healed and took off.
That is a hoot.
Yeah.
So it sounds like from all the talk, the convention went great.
Oh, yes. We had a wonderful convention.
That is awesome.
It was a lot of work for a lot of folks. And I'll tell you, Carla Rusheville is magic with how she puts these things together. Now, next year, you know, we're in Louisville.
Yes.
So you better show up.
Well, I'll talk to you off air about that.
No.
I talked to Tim and Cheryl, and we're talking about doing two or three, four, something like that, live shows.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Depending on what we can fill up and have a little donation to the scholarship.
Yeah. Well, you
get
need
in there and get crazy and have some fun and do some giveaways. And
well, you need to get to Miss Carla about that so that she finds a space for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We'll make space. We'll just move some cars out the parking lot, put a tent up, and we're in. Come on down.
Yeah, you would, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you would. Yeah,
hey, let me ask you, did we run biscuits and gravy?
I don't know. I didn't run the show this week.
Okay,
someone
cool.
other than me ran it this week.
Well, everybody, ACB Radio, y'all missed biscuits and gravy from the islands. It was good stuff. I didn't even let the band have any. I ate it all, so they were kind of upset. So they came early today.
I've never been a big fan of biscuits and gravy.
Good stuff. But we did, we recorded a couple more shows today for Cooking in the Dark.
Yay.
So next week we have some great, we've got a Coca-Cola cherry salad coming at you, cucumbers and onions, and a summer pie, which is simple and easy.
Ooh.
And then we've got, we also recorded with Stephen Gura.
Oh,
for the
sure.
wonderful upcoming, you know, Beef Baseball World Series.
Yeah, very
which,
cool.
Which, you know, I already told everybody on the you'll hear it on Cooking in the Dark, but there's no really need for any other teams to show up because, you know, the Bayou City boys are going up there.
Uh-huh.
So Houston will be showing up. So
uh-huh.
Yeah, everybody else just forfeit.
Listen to
stay
this.
At home.
Listen to this.
All them boys in California and Kansas and Austin
listen
and
to this.
Sacramento. Hey. They're going to be head-hunting for me.
When is the Beat Baseball game?
It's the 29th of July through the 4th, I believe, of August.
Where is it?
In Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, boy. All the blind people are going to Minnesota this year.
Yeah, Minnesota's the place
sure,
to be.
Yeah, sure, you betcha, yeah.
They'll be building some insane asylums up there.
Yeah, I guess so. You are so bad.
Oh, that's terrible. Stevens, he's all fired up. He's going to record the championship game.
Ah, that's
which
wonderful.
Cool. And I think he's going to yak with you about trying to get you to air it on ACB Radio, which I think would be good. And we've got a few affiliates now that are carrying the Cooking in the Dark show, some internet radio stations by
blind, that's great.
You know, with blind owners.
Yeah, that's great.
And we're
going
to try to get them to run it as well.
Yeah.
Promote that a little bit and get people out there whacking that ball and running to them beeping bases.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Heck yeah.
Have you ever played beat baseball?
No.
Oh, I have, when I was younger and thinner. And it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Yeah, Doc Bradley, right after I lost my eyesight, I got in touch with Doc Bradley, and he was, you know, one of the guys that was pretty influential in me, you know, basically pulling my britches up and moving on down the road, you know.
Yeah, I would imagine Doc would just say, "Well, son,
yeah.
you just got to get on with
That's it.
It,
man. Yeah. Suck it up and move on, you
Suck
know.
Suck it up, pull them pants up, and let's go."
That's right. But, yeah, he gave me some balls and stuff, and at the time I was living way out in the country, so there was no way I could get to the practice facility.
Yeah.
And now it's from here with the wonderful metro system we have in Houston. It's a 3.5-mile walk to the bus station for me, and then from there, you know, a couple hours and 14 transfers.
it's an Olympic activity just to
get
there.
It is.
Yeah.
I need a gold medal to get there.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun to play. I mean, I don't know all the rules now, but when I played, and this is back in the 70s, we had a team in Northern Virginia, and I think you got 6 strikeouts, and there were people at each base, and when you hit the ball, the person at the base would turn the bass on so you would know, you know, where you were running to.
Right.
And then you'd have to, you know, stand there and listen for that ball because you were also responsible to catch it if somebody hit it over toward your base to, you know, pick it up and catch it and flip it back toward home. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. From Boy Steven, I mean, he did a great job describing everything and the rules and everything in the show. So I was like, man, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, another
kind of crazy.
Another interesting game also is Go Ball.
Yes. Now, Go Ball sounds like that would be a hoot, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's played, and, that can be a, man, both of those games, especially if you get, because just because you're blind, you're not going to lose that competitive spirit.
That's right.
You know?
Darn it, now you just sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to compete with you.
That's right.
Well, see, Dale, here's what we need to do, okay? Now, you and I, we got to get something going on here, okay?
Okay.
We'll get all these active people, you know, we'll get them all on the goal ball teams, get them all on the beat baseball teams, and then you and I will sit back and we'll cook and we'll have the refreshments and we'll test it all out.
Oh, yeah.
So that everything is ready.
I got a lounge chair with, you know, cup holders in it.
Yeah,
you know,
me
too. A little
too.
Portable barbecue grill, and we just started carrying these little mini fridges, you know, that are
there
cool.
You go.
That, you know, hold the six pack.
There you go.
Chills.
There you go.
Yeah, have that thing shaken, not stirred, and go.
There you go.
Go.
We'll cheer everybody on.
Heck yeah. I'm a heck of a rooter anymore, you know.
Dean and Agnes can just kind of lay out and go, oh, my gosh, they're
oh
at it
God.
Again.
Oh, my God, yes. Dean is such a knucklehead, I tell you. We were down there, and we got him in the Caribbean, and he's out there in the water, and he's about, you know, up to his belly, and all of a sudden he realizes, man, this is cool. He starts jumping up and down, bucking like a bronco, takes off, boom. Flying up the beach, laps a palm tree, comes flying back, dives in the water. Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Just being cool.
That's
but he did awesome. I was concerned about him finding the room and getting me around and
stuff.
But yeah, he did great.
Well, you know, I have to say, Agnes did beautifully at convention. She, you know, for it being her first convention, so many dogs, so many people, she just amazed me. She took to it like a fish to the water. And I'd come into the convention hall because, you know, I had to leave on again, off again, doing
right.
different things. And so I'd come in some door and I'd just say to her, okay, Aggie, go find Daddy. And she'd wind around through the rows and in and out and around, and finally one time she made a definite right-hand turn, and I said, what delegation is this? And Naomi Sewell said, it's Missouri. And I said, oh, you're right across from where Gary's sitting. Excuse me, I'm going through. She took me right through Missouri to get back to Daddy.
She was
a good girl.
Well, and that's awesome. I mean, that's when they really, that's when they shine.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what they're there to do, and that's
yep.
why they're just so proud.
Yep, and they feel so good about themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's awesome. He did great. I mean, there were a few nights where we were like, okay, Dean, you might have to drive the ferry back across, brother, because... And there was a few nights he drove us home, you know?
I bet. Knowing you, I bet.
But it was good stuff. Cruisin' rum, y'all. It won't give you a hangover.
What rum?
Cruisin'. Cruisin'.
Well, I'm not a big rum drinker, so I'll just take your word
Ooh,
for it.
Ooh, but I tell you, now they've got all these wonderful flavored rums.
Yeah.
Pineapple, citrus, raspberry. What was the other one we started drinking? Black cherry.
Oh.
A black cherry and Coke is just like drinking a cherry Coke.
Well, I'm going to take your word for that.
Except after a while, you're happy.
You're happy all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And just... We don't need any more of that.
Yeah, if you get much happier, I don't know what we're going to do with you.
We'll be looking out, man. But Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, Louisville.
Sluggers.
Here we come. That's right.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll get with you, and we'll get with Carla, and we'll get some stuff going on that.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to your salads next week because...
Oh, they're so delicious. We just indulged in them.
Well, we're trying to find a salad that... Gary had a friend years and years ago who made something called a summer salad, and you just kept adding things to it, and it just, as you ate it, you added more, and you ate it, you added more.
Wow.
Yeah.
The bottomless salad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was called a plumber's, P-L-U-M-B.
No, summer.
Oh,
like
summer salad.
The opposite of winter, summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said a plumber's salad. I was like, man, the pipes that never end.
Well, there is that, too.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, was it a pasta base or a lettuce base?
No, it was, I think it was, you know, lettuce base and I think like tomato and onion and, and you just kept adding stuff.
You just kept tossing stuff
in. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way to go.
I know, but we
what
don't have
you got
that
in the fridge.
We don't have that recipe, so
wow.
we're looking.
I'll throw something out on the list and see if somebody bites.
Ah, you're all right, my man.
See if something comes up. See if something comes up. But
all
anyway.
Right.
All right, girl. Well, listen, I'm out of here.
All right. Well, you take care and watch that cruising rum, honey, or you'll be cruising, all right.
Man, we always do that. It makes me run into poles and stuff, you know.
Goodbye.
In fact, the dude that was, the dude that took me out on his little dinghy, we're coming in, and I'm following him in, and he goes, follow the leader. And I'm like, what? Bam.
Bam.
Right into a pole. As I could see. Birds, stars, you know, all flying around my head. Knocked a couple fillings loose. I'm like, dang.
That was
so a couple
fun.
Days later, I borrowed a Sharpie from the bartender. I wrote, Dale's face was here, and put an X on that pole. Thanks, Tyrone. Oh, it's a permanent monument.
Oh.
And the funniest thing was, after I ran into the pole, he turned around and looked at me. Oh, pole. Damn side of people, I tell you.
I know. They're just crazy.
All right, girl.
All right,
hey,
well, you take care.
One.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I knew we'd fill up that 10 minutes. I just knew that we would. Dale Campbell is just an amazingly, incredibly talented person. We're going to take this one last call real quick. Hi, you're with Marlena.
Yeah. Hello, Marlena.
Hello, Jeff, real quick.
Oh, real quick, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm in hell capital of the world right now. Yeah, I'm actually in Phoenix.
Phoenix. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, say hi, Karen.
Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Karen.
Yeah, she can't hear you. I'm on my cell phone.
Oh.
But, good show. We'll listen to the first hour next.
All right, yes, listen to the...
Get out of the pool.
All right, well, listen to the first hour next, and you'll learn a lot.
All right.
All right?
Yep.
All right. Hey, real quick, in 10 seconds, what's on main menu this week?
We're on vacation.
Oh, that was easy enough. Okay,
That's
forgot.
Right.
All right.
But Victor Stream, the first episode of main menu when it comes back, will be an extremely in-depth review of the Victor Stream.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. So,
you're welcome.
Have
See
a good
later.
One. Bye-bye. Hey. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. And, we kind of go out with a bang there, huh? I will be back next week again at same time, same place. My guest next week will be Paul Nugent from over in the UK, and we will be discussing the topic of reincarnation. I want to thank you all for being here and listening. I want to thank President Mitch Pomerantz, the American Council of the Blind. I wish you well, Mitch, and it will be a delight to serve on the board with you and the rest of the board. We'll be back next week. I'm Marlena. If you want to get a hold of me during the week, you can do so at Marlena, M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. It's been a joy to have you. Thanks for the honor of your company.